This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little bell next to it so that you're notified whenever there's new Going In Raw episodes. And we also want to say thanks to Audible for supporting our podcast, Going In Raw. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/raw. That's audible.com/raw. You're really supporting Going In Raw by hitting that link in the description and checking out and seeing what Audible has to offer. All right, Larson, let's talk about Money in the Bank.
Yes, overall.
We're here to talk about
an okay show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Some good moments.
Yeah.
Some
good moments, some clunky moments.
Wasn't some, the best pay-per-view.
Look,
but
definitely some controversy.
Yes.
People are all abuzz about this women's Money in the Bank, the inaugural women's Money in the Bank match, and we definitely have some thoughts about that. We put our thinking caps on, and we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
After we talk about the pre-show, Colognes versus Hype Bro.
Yeah, it's good to see the Hype Bro back together.
It's good to see him back in action.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zack Ryder's going to turn on. There is literally nowhere for these guys to go besides turn. No, man. We already have the New Day and we got the Fashion Police. If they decide not to turn American Alpha, which would be weird, then they're still waiting in the wings as a top face team.
Yeah, they didn't tease any dissension between Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, though.
No, I think they're just going to they have to at least tease something on Tuesday. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we got the actual turn on Tuesday. But then it also wouldn't surprise me at all if the Hype Bro weren't even on TV on Tuesday.
I feel like that's more likely.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they'd be kept off for like another, like it'd just be sporadically until they figure out what they're gonna do?
Maybe.
It's like no room for them.
I know. That's why I thought it was interesting that Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis debuted on
There's no room
SmackDown.
For any of these people.
I know. It's already a packed show.
There's too much going on already. What are they going to do with them? It's all weird. Anyways, yeah.
We'll talk about that more when we get to that segment.
So the Colognes took on the Hype Bro. Fun match. Great to have Zack Ryder back. He looks great.
He does.
Extremely orange. Him and Dolph, I swear, they went to the exact same spray tan place that mm-hmm. day because they were the exact same odd shade of orange. But you know, it was good to see them back. Good to see Mojo in his Hype Bro gear. But he's moved on beyond Hype Bro.
It feels that way.
Yeah, like it's odd to see him back in his Hype Bro outfit.
Well, pretty much what it is
because he's not second fiddle anymore.
No, what it was, what Mojo's character was prior was he was hype all the time.
Yeah, now he's very introspective.
Yeah, now he's added some complexity.
Yeah.
And so he's mellow, introspective, as you said, backstage. In the ring, he's still hype.
Oh, yeah. No, he found his trigger. He found his hype trigger. So he pulls it when he needs to. But then he's been doing a lot of thinking
mm-hmm.
about life, philosophy,
mm-hmm.
the arts,
mm-hmm.
sex. I don't know. Anyways, whenever I think of Mojo Rawley, because like the other day he tweeted out, it's 6:09, everybody, what you guys doing? Or have a good day or something like that. I don't know. Mojo's got to be Mojo.
Yep.
Anyways, Zack Ryder went over with a rough rider.
Yep.
So Hype Bro wins. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they find room for them. It's kind of like when they tease Luke Harper Aiden English stuff. Like, there's no room for them, so they can't really, they can just sort of linger on this maybe feud.
You know, they when Zach came back, you know, they pushed the idea that the Hype Bro, they won that number one contender match,
mm-hmm.
But the match where Zach got hurt, but obviously never got their opportunity at the titles.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do, both from the Hype Bro's perspective and from Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan's perspective, in terms of telling that story. And whether that story leads to their breakup. if they break up.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's possible, I guess, that can be kind of a detour, or that can beef up the Usos New Day thing, because, you know, you can only go down so many routes. The Usos just left the ring, which, of course, you know, they got them counted out during their match, which, of course, would lead to, you know, some sort of no count out match or no DQ match or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if they get counted out, they can, you know, lose the titles and that, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but in the meantime, the Hype Bro has their shot at that. And that could be, you know, they could add the Hype Bro to that story, perhaps, in some manner. I don't know.
Well, you could have a Four Corners tag match at Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Have Usos, New Day, Hype Bro, and Fashion Police.
Yeah.
All in the match.
Yeah. Yeah, bring them back into the fold, because they seem to be done with the Ascension already.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. We had then...
to kick off the main show.
The Women's Money in the Bank match. It was funny because Charlotte came out first, and she puts her arms out, and the cameraman runs around her, and the cameraman hit her hand. And like at that point, you knew, oh... she's losing this.
Well, she had a lose face. Everybody had lose face.
She already had lose face on, but that just made it doubly so.
Everybody had lose face except Carmella, whose ring gear had money all over it. She had the most win face I've ever seen anybody have.
Oh, yeah. That was supreme. That was infinite win face. That was the most. Even Ellsworth had win face.
Yeah.
That guy hasn't won anything. Actually, no. He won two matches against AJ Styles. Yeah. And then, so every it was hilarious. So everybody came out. And they all had, and it makes me wonder if they all knew what the finish was. I mean, they all knew what the finish was. They were all like, are you serious with this shit? First Women's Money in the Bank match, and a man wins it. Which, let's just talk about this now. Because, number one, we'll just say this, it was a fun match.
Yeah.
They booked Tamina super strong. Yes. I love that.
Yeah,
that was great.
She took control of the match early on and dominated the first quarter of it.
Yeah,
pretty handily.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Everybody had a moment. Charlotte did a some sort of like somersault dive off the top rope.
Yeah, I figured they were gonna do that
onto the outside.
I figured they were gonna do that like on the for the ladder or something.
Oh, do the moonsault off the ladder.
Yeah, I thought we were gonna see that. I thought we were gonna do, and she kind of did, because she had dispatched of Natalya and Tamina. Mm-hmm. I think and she had an opportunity on the outside of the ring. She had an opportunity to get inside the ring and make a play for the briefcase. But instead she decided to take the risk and destroy them out on the outside and do that big somersault dive. So that was a lot of fun. So
the finish saw, Becky and Carmella fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella was on the mat. Becky ascends the ladder.
Yeah. She starts climbing up.
James Ellsworth comes in, pushes the ladder over, Becky falls off, and then Ellsworth stands kind of at the foot of the ladder, looks to Carmella, who's kind of out of it still.
Yeah.
And Ellsworth climbs the ladder.
Yeah.
Grabs the briefcase, drops it to Carmella. She catches it.
Yeah.
Carmella wins.
Yeah. Now, in a bubble, this was fantastic.
In terms of wrestling storyline?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was great. Ellsworth gets up there. The crowd starts chanting yes for Ellsworth to ascend the ladder. Because Ellsworth is great. I totally get. We texted back and forth about this last night.
Yes.
I think we're on the same page. I totally get. This is a company that is well known for being oblivious to many things. And it's easy, and I think well within anybody's rights, to say how oblivious is this to have a man win the Women's Money in the Bank match in the very first Women's Money in the Bank match.
Well, do you think I don't know if they are oblivious. I'm unsure, because based on everybody's reaction on Twitter, all the participants in this match, Daniel Bryan, Stephanie, the entire women's division on Raw, everybody was crapping on James Ellsworth.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to hope that creative, when they hatched this storyline, were well aware of the fact that they would receive some backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to put that into the actual story.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, it'll be a huge disappointment.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big opportunity.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, I completely understand why people will be disappointed or upset with this finish. As you mentioned, in a bubble, in terms of purely wrestling story, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm extremely happy for Carmella.
Yeah.
She's done great work since she turned heel, especially.
Yeah.
She deserves this opportunity.
Yeah.
I was very happy for her. In terms of potential storylines that could come out of this, it's very interesting.
Yeah. Especially the way she almost teased a cash in.
Yes.
Later in the
yes.
night.
Ideally, it'd have been great if Carmella had been the one to have that moment on top of the ladder to get the briefcase. That'd have been pretty huge, I imagine, for her, even though she seemed genuinely moved emotionally at the end of the match when she had that briefcase.
I'm torn and I'm not torn whether or not they were completely self-aware of the idea that Ellsworth would be going up there and a man would be taking the briefcase and dropping it down to Carmella. I like to think that they are.
Yeah, I'd like to hope. I would like to hope so. And if the story progresses and we find out that's not the case, as I said, that'll be a disappointment.
Yeah. Here's the counter to, and like I said, people are well within their rights to be pissed off about this big historic moment, which, yes, money in the first women's Money in the Bank is a big, big moment. There have been so many amazing, groundbreaking historical moments over the past 12 to 18 months with the women's revolution, as they like to call it. Charlotte and Sasha Banks broke so much ground during their feud. Big moments, moments that were proven draws, moments that brought in ratings, moments that broke a lot of different barriers within the WWE and women's wrestling. And they've been amazing moments. Part of me feels like we've had so many of those moments that were watershed moments for women's wrestling that we're kind of at the point now where they can do something like have Ellsworth, who, by the way, yes, superficially, he obviously is a man. In the context, in the details of the storyline, he is essentially Carmella's bitch. He is a tool for her.
Yeah.
She controls.
She has all the power in that relationship.
Exactly. And so having him go up there and fetch the briefcase for her, I think is a lot more powerful than her doing it herself, because she's doing what heels do. That's the finish of the match. She's doing what heels do. She had, and I know she didn't direct him to do it, but within the context of their relationship, he did it at her behest, obviously. I think that was the perfect finish within the context of the storyline, within the context of the relationship, because for one thing, I can guarantee that if Ellsworth ever did lace up boots against any of the female competitors, he would never stand a chance. That's the character of Ellsworth. He's sub them as it pertains to being a competitor. It's not like they sent Brock Lesnar up there to win. They didn't send Roman Reigns up there to win the first Money in the Bank. So in the context of the storyline universe, no, a man didn't win Money in the Bank. Ellsworth did. JBL has made it very clear that he is not to be referred to as a human being even. So does it seem oblivious? Yes, because and I take that because of the history of the company. Do I believe it is oblivious? I'm kind of with you. I don't think they were oblivious to it. I think they know exactly what they were doing. Now, is it in poor taste? That's not for me to decide. That's for everybody out there to decide, because that's subjective.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I thought, you know, I thought it was great. You know, could we have had Becky Lynch standing tall as the proud, you know, Money in the Bank winner? We kind of got that when she became the first. Was she the first SmackDown Women's Champion? Yeah. You know, we've had any number when they got rid of that, you know, the Divas title, when we got rid of the Divas belt.
Yep.
You know, when we had the fancy standing up there looking better than the Universal title women's championship belt. And then the same thing on SmackDown. So we've had plenty of these great moments. Now you can have these infuriating moments, same as the men get. You know, so I don't know. I don't mean to take away from anybody who was like, oh man, what the heck? They had it like symbolically. I totally get what.
You're absolutely
talking about. Like, I'm not going to take that away from anybody. But I thought it worked. Like, we both loved it. I was. It's funny too, because Matthew from Botchamania, he tweeted out something similar to our thoughts as well. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people were steamed about it. I thought it got, I thought it was pretty clever and I thought it worked. I thought it was the best finish. That did complete our predictions.
Yes.
Winners and losers. You won.
Oh, I'm not going to do it like that. This is not the ideal scenario for me to chop you. We need a table.
It's now or never. Just do it.
I'm going to stand up at least. I would prefer if you took your shirt off.
I'm not taking my shirt off. That's weird.
See, I wasn't ready for this. Pivot towards me slightly.
Oh, my God. You know, wrestlers don't say pivot towards me slightly.
They know what to do.
They don't do that.
I'll lick my hand first.
All right, go ahead.
Ready?
Yep.
Lean back a little bit.
Okay, go ahead. Come on, do it. Do it. Ah. Yeah, that's nothing.
All right.
There is nothing there.
All right. It sounded good, though.
It sounded okay.
That was pretty loud.
That was pretty loud. All right. Do you feel better now? Do you feel more like a man now?
No, here's the thing. Our audience wanted to see it, and I'm happy for that.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
And I appreciate that you
The thing is, I never agreed to it, but I know. I know you have something to prove.
No, there's nothing to prove. I just thought it'd be funny.
You want to be like a big man like me.
No, I don't want to be I don't care about that. I don't care. I definitely don't want to be like you. I don't care about any of that. I thought it'd be funny. The audience was getting a kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason.
Okay. All right. It's all for the show.
That's it.
All right.
Everything I do on the show is for the show.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you got that out.
And if I had lost, I would have accepted a chop too.
I'm not going to chop you. I would destroy you. I would literally hurt you.
Nah.
You would have Ms. Cryface if I chopped you.
Nah.
It would be bad.
Well, we'll find out. If I lose predictions next time,
I'm not going to chop you.
I'm willing to take it.
I'll
even take my shirt off so you can see your handprint across my chest.
Oh, I don't want to do that. This is weird. Anyways. So, congratulations. I like this. I do like it. I can't, literally, the way it did before. Nothing happened there.
It's because the shirt's
on. There was it's because of the shirt.
I don't know. It sounded good. That's all I really care about.
No, it sounded great. So anyways, moving along, you got that off. You proved your point.
That off my chest.
You got that off your chest, so to speak. Then we had a Lana interview who talked about winning the women's championship, which we all knew wasn't going to happen. Then we had the New Day versus the Usos for the tag team championships. This was a fun match.
Yeah, it was.
The Usos put on really fun matches.
They do. There's a lot of false finishes that made you think that the New Day were going to win, even though we fully expected them not to.
Yeah, yeah.
But for every move the New Day had, especially towards the end of the match, the Usos had a counter, and they kept the titles.
Yeah, so the Usos are one of the best teams at like pure tag team wrestling.
Yes.
Like interacting with each other. The New Day are that as well.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling?
I don't know.
Because you got the top man.
I know. It's just kind of, I don't know.
You're very excited about that.
I just wasn't expecting it.
I
just wasn't expecting it.
Let's talk about this. Let's get this
all right,
out.
All right, let's process.
What were you thinking? Because we never committed physical acts of violence on each other.
Yeah.
What were you thinking when I started pushing everything away?
No, I knew exactly what it was. And as I said, I wasn't expecting it. It was a surprise to me.
I surprised you.
And so I didn't have a strategy of how to chop you. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to do
it. I'm impressed that you came up with it on the fly. I thought that I am kind of impressed. I thought that you were going to do a week sitting here like, oh, man, no. I got
to
do this
I knew
now.
I couldn't get the necessary leverage to do it right.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to do it and then, you know, half-ass it and make it look weak
and
then disappoint everybody.
Yeah. Feel good.
But at the same time, I didn't want to hurt you.
Yeah. No, no.
Despite what you say.
Yeah. No, I know you don't want to hurt me. I know the thing is you can't hurt me.
Well...
There's really nothing I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Like, well, that's soft. I'm impressed that you've been working out. That's good. Maybe by the end of that should be your goal by the end of 2018.
Regardless of how you feel, I'm just happy that it sounded good. Because that's really the major thing with a chop. It's not exactly if it hurts.
Well, I'm
or
editing
not.
This. I'm going to bring down the sound.
How
on
it feels is if it sounds good.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
And hopefully it sounds good to the audience ears because that's what I care about.
I wonder how. So JT Kratos.
JR Kratos.
I always say JT. I don't know why. JR Kratos. Beat Joe DeSole last night. I wonder, there were probably some nasty chops there. Joe DeSole's a little tiny guy like you too.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you're going to have a smile on your face the rest of the time.
I wasn't expecting.
We don't do that to each other. We don't do on the show. We don't really do that. We're not like, that's such like a college bro thing to do.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I just thought it'd be something different to do. It just popped in my head.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of the t-shirts. We do need to mix it up. We need to do
What about push-ups?
Yeah, push-ups are good. No, I don't want to do that.
Well, we need to be something. Be clever.
We got to steal some of those What Culture ideas. They do good punishment things.
Okay.
We should just go look at what they do and then do that.
Like change our Twitter names?
Oh, no, that's lame. Doesn't he have to do that for like the entire year, though?
No, because Blompy, you know, he changed his name to Plumpy.
Plumpy, yeah.
But I think since he won this time, he got to change his name back.
Oh, so it was just pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. We got to think about it, though. I'm kind of done with the T-shirts.
And now that the chop's out of the way, if you want to chop me next time, it's fine. But now that the chop's out of the way, we can move on to something else. Something creative.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather
do creative punishments as opposed to physical punishments.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. We need to get out of the studio and do something. Anyways. Like I was saying before we had to, you know, have our therapy session there. The Usos and the New Day, they're both really good at that, at just like the sort of sneaky tag team wrestling when, like, you know, the refs turned and they make the tag or whatever, or like the opponent's turn, they don't realize the tags are making. That kind of tag team wrestling is what I like out of the Usos and New Day. And both teams are really, really good at that.
Yes.
And so, yeah, this was fun. It was just, what did you think of the finish? The Usos just left. I like your point that you said during the stream when you said,
why don't people do that more often?
Why doesn't everybody just do that? I mean, it's kind of the thing. Why doesn't everybody just get DQ'd?
I know. I mean, people were upset about it, and that's kind of the point. Is this a heel tag team taking the easy way out?
Yeah, I know, but creatively.
Retain their titles.
The problem is creatively it's the easy way out because now you can't go back on SmackDown on Tuesday and like tomorrow and be like, oh, the Usos, they're, you know, this is what they did, those scheming bastards, because like they just left. That's not creative. It's not clever as heels.
Yeah, but it's also not a finish that we see very often. Creative or not.
Because it's so like obvious and silly that I mean, there's no reason to see it that often. I don't know. I didn't like it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't like it. But, you know, the match itself was decent.
Oh, the match was good.
Yeah. But I like that the Usos are sort of that team. They're being booked as that team who can play the New Day's own game. It kind of bugged me too. You're smiling still. You're in a glow. This is like a pregnant glow right now.
No, I'm fine. We're good.
I'm glad I was able to bring you this level of pleasure. I'm never able to bring you this level of pleasure.
No.
All you had to do was hit me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was physically attack me. Oh my god.
A level of catharsis there.
I feel like the adrenaline right now is high in you right now. My goodness. We need to go out and start some bar fights, apparently. All right. You know what we should do? The punishment should be, it should be whoever loses doesn't get to chop Hilton. Whoever wins gets to chop Hilton.
I feel like he needs to be on board with that plan, though.
I'm sure we can get him on board.
I don't know.
He likes attention. Anyways, next up we had the women's championship match, Naomi versus Lana.
Not a terrible match. Decent.
Okay, so this wasn't... I thought maybe I just had it in my head. I was like, well, Lana's been practicing a lot. She's been on the NXT house show circuit. Maybe we'll get something decent out of this. It wasn't terrible.
No.
It wasn't as bad as, like, let's say, Eva Marie in the ring. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as bad as that. But it also wasn't that great.
No, but they told a story. Lana...
when Naomi has to be the one who's, like, the ring general, when she has to be the one controlling the match, you're not going to get anything really great. Like, I still feel that she's not quite there. I think she'll get there.
Yeah.
She's not there yet.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's all right. She's a capable wrestler.
Yes.
And the fact this wasn't terrible shows that she is progressing quite a bit. She's learning stuff from Becky Lynch, Natalia, and Charlotte.
As I was saying earlier, they told a story. Lana was working over Naomi's knee for the vast majority of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Lana, though, eventually tapped out to Naomi's submission finisher. I don't know. Have they named that? I don't remember.
I do not recall. It's a good-looking finish.
Though. It is. It's great.
A good-looking submission maneuver. I was kind of, you know what I was kind of bummed out about is that Naomi kicked out of Lana's finish
twice.
Was it twice?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's too many times.
Is it? I think it's just called Field of Glow.
It's called Field of Green.
But yeah, that was interesting that maybe that's not Lana's finisher. If Naomi kicked out twice, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it feels like a finish move.
It looks like a finish.
Looks like a finish move. Should
it's
be
a good looking move.
She just can't get the torque on it. The torque. The torque?
Torque.
Yeah, the torque on it. Then we had Fashion Vice.
Oh, that was great.
This is great, man. It was a takeoff of Miami Vice.
Yes.
For the Fashion Police.
Yes.
And it was good. I like how they had a picture of Michael Hayes mm-hmm. in the background. And they were Fandango yes. was on an old brick cell
and
phone.
Said, what, property of Paul E?
Paul E.
Reference to
Heyman
Paul Heyman.
Tweeted about that today. Yeah. He found it very amusing.
In the Dangerous Alliance days.
And then so they got a videotape.
VHS tape, yes.
VHS tape. And like Fandango said, is it a Coliseum tape?
Yes.
And so they pop it in, and it's two guys with like masks on or their silhouette or something. And yeah. they said, meet us out in the middle of the ring.
We'll have a match tonight.
We'll have a match tonight. So then we had, after that wrapped up, we had the debut of Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis, mm-hmm. who is actually Mike Bennett. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the power of love. Yes.
Their theme song's great. It's really good.
Oh, I didn't listen back
it's
to
good.
It. Is it?
It's like an 80s power ballad.
Okay. Okay. All right. What are your thoughts on this?
This is what I'm hoping for.
Okay.
I don't know if this will happen. Remember when Rusev and Lana first debuted? And she was the one firmly in control. It was interesting. It was a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, granted, they're not going to. I mean, it doesn't seem like it. Could be wrong. Rusev, they booked as, you know, a monster,
mm-hmm.
unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
And Lana was the only one that could kind of control him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to go necessarily that route with this.
No, no.
But if the dynamic is similar, they could be interesting. So long as he is booked strong in the ring, I feel like that is the most important thing.
The ceiling on this, and it's not a bad one at all, it's actually a pretty good ceiling, is a variation on Miz and Maryse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these two, the limited amount of stuff that I've seen with Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis, is their chemistry is really, really good.
Yes, and you know, say what you will about his character, his gimmick, his performance last night was good.
No, it was.
If you look at how he was.
He was all in on it.
As he was like in awe.
So
over his wife.
If they do their job and book him strong, like you said, if they do their job, this could totally be sort of the next version of Miz and Maryse.
Yeah.
It
could be part. I think it'd be part Miz Maryse, part Lana Rusev.
Because when he said, honestly, when she said Maria Kanellis and he said Mike Kanellis, for people who know that it's Mike Bennett and he's taking her name, that's damn clever.
Yeah.
That's really damn clever. Whoever thought about that is really clever.
Yeah.
So I like it.
I'm hopeful.
And yeah, I'm hopeful. When he first did it,
you
I was like,
not into it.
I was
all.
Not into it because I think the thing is like it. Whenever somebody debuts, I want them to have world title potential.
Yes.
It's okay that this does not have world title potential, but actually it might in terms of being that sort of that Miz type heel.
Yeah.
I could see it being that way, like rubbing it in the faces that he's a progressive male taking on her and she's sort of the alpha.
Yeah.
Because so the last thing I saw before I did my Impact review this week, a couple weeks prior, I saw the wedding segment and Mike Bennett, I think, was like the best man and he was like still drunk when he came out or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Braxton Sutter was, I think, the guy who was supposed to be getting married. He's a stud. He fought Trevor Lee this week.
Oh, okay.
He's freaking, I mean, Trevor Lee, we both like him.
Yeah.
But freaking that kid, Braxton Sutter, he's a stud. He's top notch. But Mike Bennett was there and Maria Kanellis, she was the heel who was setting everything up. She was the mastermind.
Yeah.
And she commanded the mic. Like, she has learned so much.
Oh, yeah. That's what I heard, yeah.
Since she's been traveling the world. I do wish they were on the same brand as the club.
Yeah.
Because I want to see Carl Anderson and her dance. That's still, like, my favorite GIFs ever.
Well, I'm sure they'll
Carl Anderson.
They'll have more superstar shakeups.
No, I know. And they're never going to reference it, but it's great.
Never know.
But anyways, I don't now that I see this, I'm like, okay, I really like this.
Yeah.
I really like this.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah, me too. I think Miz and Maryse, I think that's a good ceiling to have.
Yeah.
And he's like an already formed character. That's, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with them not going through NXT. Like, go through NXT if they need to go through NXT. But they're using her as, so I was tweeting with somebody about this last night.
Using her name to
as the foundation.
Make them familiar, essentially.
She's the returning superstar. Yes. And she's, yes, you know, relatively, she hasn't been gone that long.
7 years.
Jeez. That is a long time to be gone.
It is a long time. But no, I thought that too when he came out with her name. It's like, okay, they're, you know, WWE audiences are familiar with her. They may not be familiar with him if they've been paying attention to Ring of Honor or Impact.
Yeah.
So that might be one of the motivations, at least backstage, for the name change.
Yeah. No, the reveal was good. Like, in retrospect, it's good. It's
just, you know, their song's good.
It's just,
it's real good.
Yeah, I'll check it out. It's just, you know, you get used to guys like Drew McIntyre coming back, and he's like stud. Even Jinder Mahal comes back. They debut Aleister Black. And it's like, all these guys should be racking up Universal titles over the next 3 to 5 years. Not everybody can do that. But I like that he's not just coming in as, you know, generic guy who's good.
I know.
You know? There's something to chew on there.
Exactly.
And it's like, yeah, they might go the way of Curt Hawkins. I'm more leaning towards they're going to do something good with this.
Yeah, I hope so.
I've got good thoughts about
yes,
that.
Yes, hopes. High hopes.
All right, Larson, before we get to the next match, we want to say once again, thanks to Audible for supporting us this episode. Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and more.
Yeah, audiobooks are great to listen to when you're driving to work, like the drive to your house all the time.
That's right, buddy.
Running errands, or if you're at the gym.
I've been doing that lately because I'm working on my peaks, Larson. I'm working on my pecs and my peaks, so we listen to these audiobooks. It's great.
Yes.
It's fantastic. And for our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. Just go to audible.com/raw and browse their unmatched selection of audio content, download a title for free, and start listening. It's that easy. We have the link in the description. You're actually helping the show a lot, too, if you click on that link. And check out, see what Audible has to offer.
Yes, last time we did a read for Audible, we mentioned some books that would be appealing to wrestling fans out there.
Correct.
But there's a lot, so we're going to suggest some more.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's Yes, narrated by Daniel Bryan. AJ Mendez Brooks, of course, she was in WWE.
AJ Lee.
Yeah. Her book, Crazy Is My Superpower, narrated by her.
Okay.
Also, since this is our Money in the Bank recap, Chris Jericho, the creator of the Money in the Bank match, one of his books, The Best in the World, is on there too. And we're on the topic of money.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books.
Yeah.
Moneyball by Michael Lewis is on there. Check it out if you're a sports fan.
Spoiler alert. It's not about money. It's about baseball.
It's about money too.
I know that.
But it's about money and how you spend money.
I'm a learned person.
Build
Larson.
A baseball team.
I have recommendations too, Larson. I put a bunch of books in my wish list so I can listen to them later on when I'm working on my peaks, Larson, because my peaks are very important to me. A, talk about money, Stephen King's Dark Tower. For like years and years, I've heard about this series, and I saw the trailer for the movie. I want to listen to the book first. So I'm going to go to the gym, work on my peaks, and listen to this book.
Great idea.
Aziz Ansari. I'm a huge Aziz Ansari fan.
Yes, he's great.
And he's got that book, Modern Romance, narrated by him. That's now available on Audible. And then this one is like my favorite. They've got all these Neil deGrasse Tyson books, you know, and I can listen, and they're all narrated by him. I can listen to this guy talk about anything, anytime, and it's the best thing ever.
Yes.
They have Carl Sagan's Cosmos, though, and it's read not just by Neil deGrasse Tyson, but also Seth MacFarlane, who is a producer on the Cosmos reboot series. Cosmos producer, writer, Ann Druyan, and the coolest, LeVar Burton. Jordy LaForge will narrate Carl Sagan's Cosmos, or at least a portion of it. And that can only be found on Audible.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So, yeah, like we said, get a free audiobook with a free 30-day trial at audible.com/raw. That's audible.com/raw. And once again, thanks to Audible. And you guys will be supporting Going in Raw by clicking that link in the description and checking out, seeing what Audible has to offer.
Yes.
Next up, we had Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship.
I like this match.
Yeah, I really like this match. They give this match a lot of time.
Yeah.
And they had all the legends at ringside, and it had like a good finish.
And it told a story.
And it told a really good story. This was really fantastic.
So pretty early on in the match, Jinder kind of launches Orton over the top rope to the outside. Would have been a disqualification in 1994 WCW.
Yes.
But they use that moment to sell a potential Orton knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the remainder of the match, Jinder was working over Randy Orton's knee.
Yeah.
So that was Like the first match, I didn't feel like really had a, like an obvious story like that. Like they just fought for a little bit. The Singh brothers got involved, and Jinder picked up the win.
This was a better match than I felt Jinder Mahal was capable of, to be completely honest with you.
Because it had a story in it.
Yeah, I know.
A more definite story.
I know. And that it sort of proves that you don't need to be like, you don't have to do fancy moves. You don't have to be like super athletic. And I know Jinder, he's strong.
Yeah.
I don't know the definition of athletic necessarily. Like, you know, he's not going to be, I don't see him doing like flippy stuff anytime soon. You know, he's a giant, very stiff looking guy. But like you said, there was a story here. I feel like Randy Orton was really doing his damnedest to put Jinder over.
Yes.
You know, Jinder looked good. He didn't come off. I mean, I know the finish was a heels finish where the Singh brothers, were after, you know, distracting a little bit, interfering a little bit. The ref kicked them out.
Yes.
And they on the spot concocted a plan to,
distract Randy. And that plan was to go and accost his father, who was sitting ringside with some other wrestling legends.
Right. Who was there? Ric Flair, Sergeant Slaughter, Baron Von Raschke.
Yeah, Larry Hennig.
And Greg Gagne.
Yep.
They were all there. It was a good match. Like you said, Jinder was working the knee a lot. We had a couple of figure fours in there.
Yes.
We had a couple of figure four pressure reversals.
Yes.
So that was always good. RKO, we did hit, Randy did hit an RKO on Jinder, but...
it was near the ropes.
It was like Jinder has, like, really long legs. For them to hit this spot where they did, because then the Singh brothers, one of the Singh brothers, took Jinder's foot and put it on the rope, but I swear it was, like, maybe the 3 inches of toe that he had.
Yeah.
It was, like, barely there.
Yeah.
But that's like perfect. That's what you want.
Yes.
So they wave that off.
And then there is a spot where Orton was pleading with the ref to not DQ Jinder because of the Singh brothers' interference.
Right, exactly. He was pleading. So instead, Chioda, the ref, decided to kick them away from ringside. They commiserate instead of leaving. They go to attack Bob Orton. Ric Flair was about to throw down immediately.
Yeah.
If he had just a couple more drinks in him, he probably would have. We would have seen a couple real figure fours. Anyway, so Orton comes down. He starts throwing down with the Singh Bros, just destroys them again, puts them both through tables, I think. Like he gives an RKO to one through a table and then just launches the other. I forget.
Yeah, and then he gets back in the ring. Jinder takes advantage of the distraction.
Yeah.
Hits his finisher for the win.
Yeah. It was good. I love that they booked that finish strong.
Yes.
Did you happen to check out Jinder Mahal on Talking Smack?
No.
He's good, man. He's always good. And he was talking about, because they were talking about, you know, Baron Corbin won Money in the Bank, and they were talking about that. And he said, Renee Young said something like, you know, Baron Corbin also is known to be a really, really, he's got a really strong work ethic, and he prides himself on that. And Jinder said, once Baron Corbin can outwork me. And I like that that's the gist of his story is, he's made his way back into the main event scene, or he's made his way to the main event scene.
Through hard work. Yeah.
I love that. And he said, as soon as Baron Corbin outworks me, I'll give him the championship. He said, but it's never going to happen. And then Baron Corbin shows up and there's a term that's kind of like beat feet. Kick rocks. He said, kick rocks. You'll see me down the line. And Jinder Mahal mad dogs him and then leaves. It was good. He said kick rocks like he's Biff Tannen. So anyways, then we had Fashion Police
taking on mystery opponents who were just the Ascension.
It was just the Ascension.
Like, we were hoping for a heel American Alpha. It didn't happen.
Yeah. I wanted that.
Something interesting.
It just ended up being, there was no like explanation either. They didn't come out and like get a microphone. Even on the way down to the ring, they could have given a microphone. Hey, guess what? It was us. We're tired of your crap.
Or even
what was the whole reason of sending them a videotape?
You know what? Even beyond that, don't give them a microphone. Just have them talk. There's a camera in front of them while they walk down the ring, the Ascension. Just at least talk to the camera. So at least the TV audiences know.
What was like the motivation of them doing any of that?
I just feel like they don't really know what to do with Fashion Police, but they want to keep them on TV.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, no, I know. I think you're right about that. Just turn American Alpha. Yes. Turn him. I think yes. It makes me want, like, I have no idea. I don't know if it's on the agenda, on the plate, what. It wouldn't surprise me if there was maybe some internal debate backstage whether or not they should turn American Alpha. Like, if that idea has been proffered at all, they have to be thinking that one over. And maybe that's why. I have no idea. That's me completely speaking out of my ass as I'm
probably doing. Yeah, I don't
know. Anyways, Fandango got the win with the roll-up. So, yeah, there's that.
Yes.
So, do you think that was their blow-off?
I would suspect.
I think they're onto a new case now.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Ascension weren't. It might be that it wasn't the Ascension. Maybe whoever this was sent the Ascension out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
Well, if it's not American Alpha, who else could it be? Assuming your scenario is the case.
I mean, they're not doing anything with Harper or Rowan right now.
Yeah, but they were feuding.
I know. Doesn't seem to matter. Are you going to put Aiden English with somebody? Is there anybody from NXT? There's no tag teams in NXT besides, like, the Authors of Pain and Heavy Machinery. Is it Sabatelli and Rick, what is his name? Riddick Moss?
Yeah.
Is it those guys, Tino and Riddick? It's not them.
No. What if it's Redragon?
Oh, it could be to Dragon again.
Mm-hmm.
That could be.
I think they're both free agents.
They just wrestled at PWG. Yep. What if it's, yeah, it could be, yeah. I don't know. Anyways, well, maybe we'll find out. Do you think we'll have another Fashion Files? So I'm going to predict this. The Fashion Files that we're going to get on Tuesday is going to be them finding another clue that suggests it wasn't the Ascension.
Yes, I hope so.
In the first, they're probably going to, maybe they'll get like another videotape.
Yeah.
You think they're going to continue on with Fashion Vice?
Well, they did the.
They have to work their way to NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
Or Hill Street Blues.
Yeah. Well, they did the film noir thing for a few weeks.
Isn't it weird that Miami Vice and NY and Hill Street Blues were on like the same time?
Yeah, no.
That's weird.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Fashion Vice sticks around for a little bit.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. How long is Hill Street Blues on for?
6 years. That's what I'll guess.
I'll guess 7. 80. Oh, you're right. Look at that. 81 to 87. So right around the time, when did Miami Vice debut? 86?
83 or 84.
Really?
I mean, 84-85.
Nice. 84. Look at you. I was on Revive Years. So there was some overlap there of 3 years.
Yes.
They should have done some crossover episodes. Anyways, you know they did a spinoff of Hill Street Blues with Sipowicz's character. He comes to L.A. and becomes like a private eye.
Oh, what was it called? It sounds familiar.
I forget, but it was terrible. It was awful.
Hmm.
And I think they couldn't directly reference like that it was his character. I don't know. Maybe he had the same name. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Anyways.
Interesting.
Next up, we had the Men's Money in the Bank match.
Fun match.
This was a lot of fun. There was a lot of really cool stories going on here, including Baron Corbin being booked as an absolute monster.
Yes, he comes out last.
As an evil monster.
He comes out last.
He breaks out on Nakamura.
Yeah, attacks Nakamura during Nakamura's entrance.
That had to be very satisfying. Because Nakamura's entrance is very obnoxious. And if you're a heel, that has to feel really good. He's got the strobe light going. He's dancing.
Baron isn't a fan of the changes they made to his entrance.
Yeah, well, no, he shouldn't be. I mean, he should not be a fan of the changes. So he attacked Nakamura. So Nakamura was out for the vast majority of the match because he really destroyed him. Like, he took ladders to him.
Well, also, he hit him with a camera twice.
He hit him with a gimmick camera twice.
That was a real camera.
Yeah, but he tossed it.
Well, yeah.
It was a real camera. You think it was just super tough? They knew they can withstand being tossed? Or is that camera one they just don't need anymore? I think they don't need it anymore.
Could be.
It's like two. It's just an
maybe old in
camera.
The production truck they have 3 or 4 cameras that don't work anymore.
I think they have some cameras that they're fine tossing around because they do. Yeah. Every once in a while they'll do a camera spot. Let's see here.
So Baron,
we had some good Sami Zayn versus.
You mentioned that Baron.
Kevin Owens.
Baron dominated the first.
Sami Corbin.
The first bit of the match. He was laying everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, Sammy had a good stretch to showcase his skills.
Yeah.
He launched Kevin Owens onto a ladder. He did a sunset flip powerbomb on Dolph off a ladder.
Yeah, that looked really nasty. I'd be surprised if Dolph wrestled on Tuesday, because, man, his lower back ate the crap out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't, if you're Dolph Ziggler, you should not be agreeing to do to take sunset flip power bombs,
especially with his concussion history.
That's why, because of his concussion history. Those things
least,
are like...
At least they, I agree with you, but at least he landed on his lower back versus his upper back and shoulders, because in that case, his head would have hit the mat and he probably would have been concussed
again. I know.
I don't know how anybody takes that move without getting concussed on a regular basis.
I know. That's the thing. I think it's like a regular, yeah, it's no good.
And then Sammy hit a exploder suplex on Kevin Owens on the apron. That was stiff, too.
Yeah.
And during this whole sequence, Sammy had several opportunities to climb up the ladder and try to get the briefcase, always thwarted.
That was like one of the main stories going on, is that they were really playing up. This was the Sami Zayn that I love to see.
Yes.
Just the, you know, living up to the underdog title. And always trying to climb up that ladder, but like you said, always being thwarted. It was good.
Yes, yes. Another great spot where AJ Styles pretty much did an attitude adjustment on Kevin Owens onto a ladder that was kind of bridged across the barricade and the corner of the ring.
Yeah, so from the apron he did that.
Yeah, but before that, Baron Corbin chokeslammed AJ into that same ladder.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There was this one spot, which was rough, where AJ climbs the ladder, is trying to get the briefcase.
Oh, my God. This
Dolph
was terrifying.
Pulls the ladder out from under him, so AJ is just holding on to the briefcase.
Mm-hmm. He's dangling there.
Yeah. Eventually falls, and usually when that happens, people tend to fall feet first, and we see people hurt themselves do that.
Yeah.
So instead, he kind of falls on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Which still did not look good, because you can dislocate a shoulder or break a collarbone doing that.
Bust up your hip, probably something fierce,
from that
too.
Height.
Yeah.
But... by all indications, he seemed fine because he continued the match.
That man is a resilient machine.
He is. So shortly after that, who returned, Steve?
Shinsuke Nakamura with the mean... He had boo.
Oh, yeah.
He had mean face.
He was very angry.
Oh, look at him.
And
very
so he
upset.
Comes to the ring and lays out pretty much everybody.
Just doles out Kinshasas to everybody.
Almost
you
everybody.
Get one, you get one, you get one.
One person didn't get one, though, Steve.
AJ Styles.
So Shinsuke...
Excelsior.
Shinsuke sets up a ladder in the ring. Is preparing to climb
this was our
ladder.
Markout moment of the night. It was fantastic.
And then AJ comes in the frame.
Yeah.
They have a stare down.
Excellent camera work.
Yes.
Great direction.
They move the ladder out of the way so they could fight.
And they do. We thought they were going to break. We thought somebody was going to run in there and break this up.
Yep.
But no, they let them go at it. It was fantastic.
It was
shades of Wrestle Kingdom. It was fantastic.
They fight. The ladder gets set up again. They both climb the ladder. They fight at the top of the ladder, trying to gain the upper hand.
Yeah.
Who takes advantage?
Baron Corbin.
Corbin pushes the ladder over. He sets the ladder back up, climbs it, gets the briefcase
very
with a little bit of
trouble. Precariously gets that briefcase. Carmella had the most win face. This was the most concentration face I've ever seen on Baron Corbin, because you're up there and a tall dude like him.
I know.
And
he's 12 or 15 foot ladder.
Like, oh, God. And then, you know, they hold on to this for dear life once they get the briefcase. Ooh, that was scary.
I know. That's got to be horrifying. I don't like heights. So I'd be up there. And I'd be
crapping. I like the one spot
I'd be
where.
I'd crapping my pants.
I kind of like the one spot we get a live crap show. I like the spot where AJ was. It was Dolph. I think maybe Sammy on the ladder. And then AJ made his own rung out of like the...
Oh, yeah. The support
bracket.
That keeps the two sides of the ladder together.
He was like on that, on the side. So that
I was just
fun.
Waiting for that thing to break.
Oh, I know. Those things look so flimsy.
And then AJ hit a phenomenal forearm onto Dolph when Dolph was climbing up the ladder. That was cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really good spots. A really fun match. A lot of various storylines interweaving.
Yeah.
Fun match. It'd be interesting to see... when Baron takes advantage of his opportunity and cashes in.
Yeah.
I would think the nearest would probably be sometime this fall, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
After SummerSlam.
Yeah, it should be fun. I think he's going to have...
Do you think they're going to do Nakamura Styles at SummerSlam? I hope they wait till Mania. Get a title involved. Let that feud really build up. Give it time.
Yeah, I want to see a lot of that. You don't just do it. You have to build to it. That's what AJ said. Isn't
exactly.
That weird? Like we were literally interviewing him like around a little less than a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and then bring him Nakamura, and sure enough, we get Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
Because of me. I did it, man.
Okay, I'll give you credit for that.
All right. So that's it. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Your chop was unimpressive. Would you like another shot?
No, I'm good.
Do you want to redeem yourself?
No.
For the weak chop.
I feel like, as I said, it sounded good.
Yeah. It was a good, I'm clowning you. It was a solid chop.
I know.
It was a good. It was a solid chop.
I have the utmost confidence in my chopping abilities.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you've been practicing on the turkeys at home.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways, like I said, if you guys have any thoughts, let us know in the comments. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.